Reading from the Acts of the Apostles. King Herod started persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John, and when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he decided to arrest Peter as well. This was during the days of unleavened bread, and he put Peter in prison, assigning four squads of four soldiers each to guard him in turns. Herod meant to try Peter in public after the end of Passover week. All the time Peter was under guard, the church prayed to God for him unremittingly. On the night before Herod was to try him, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, fastened with double chains, while guards kept watch at the main entrance to the prison. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord stood there, and the cell was filled with light. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him. "Get up," he said, "hurry." And the chains fell from his hands. The angel then said, "Put on your belt and sandals." After he had done this, the angel next said, "Wrap your cloak round you and follow me." Peter followed him, but had no idea that what the angel did was all happening in reality. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed through two guards posted one after the other and reached the iron gate leading to the city. This was opened of its own accord. They went through it and had walked the whole length of one street when suddenly the angel left him. It was only then that Peter came to himself. "Now I know it is all true," he said. "The Lord really did send his angel and has saved me from Herod and from all that the Jewish people were so certain would happen to them." The word of the Lord.
From all my terrors, the Lord set me free. From all my terrors, the Lord set me free. I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise always on my lips. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast, the humble shall hear and be glad. From all my terrors, the Lord set me free. Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us praise his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me. From all my terrors he set me free. From all my terrors, the Lord set me free. Look towards him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. This poor man called, the Lord heard him and rescued him from all his distress. From all my terrors, the Lord set me free. The angel of the Lord is encamped around those who revere him to rescue them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is happy who seeks refuge in him. From all my terrors, the Lord set me free.
A reading reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. My life is already being poured away as a libation, and the time has come for me to be gone. I have fought the good fight to the end. I have run the race to the finish. I have kept the faith. All the rest to come now is the crown of righteousness reserved for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. The Lord stood by me and gave me power, so that through me the whole message might be proclaimed for all the pagans to hear. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from all evil attempts on me and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he put this question to his disciples. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say he is John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, he said, who do you say I am? Then Simon Peter spoke up. You are the Christ, he said, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Simon, son of Jonah, you are a happy man, because it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So I now say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the underworld can never hold out against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be considered bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be considered loosed in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a strange day today. Saints Peter and Paul, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. And when I was looking, I was thinking, why don't they have a day for themselves? St. Francis has his own feast day. St. Anthony has a feast day. But Peter and Paul have to share one. And I thought that's a little bit odd. Consider for a moment these two people, these stalwarts of the church. I suppose you could call them an apostolic odd couple. There's Peter, hard-working fisherman, probably unable to read or write. And there's Saul, or Paul, who was an educated man, and studied much about the Christian faith under Ananias. And to put them together also seems strange, because for much of their lives they were at odds with each other. They weren't the same, they didn't believe the same things. So again, why put them together? Peter thought the unclean Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, didn't have anything to do with the church. He said they're not the same. You have to be Jewish and go through the rite of circumcision before you can become a Christian. Paul, on the opposite side, believed that all these Christians were heretics and should be put to death. And it wasn't until the Council of the Church in 50 AD that these issues were resolved. Peter, with his demand for the Mosaic Law, and Paul saying, after his conversion, that it's anyone can become a Christian. So let's look at the story of the council, for it teaches us two great lessons. Firstly, that there's never been a time in the church's history when things were different amongst different groups. Beliefs were different in different groups. There was conflict or disagreement within the church. And frequently it was about who's in or who's out. Which one do I follow? I'm not following that one, but I'll follow that one. And secondly, it gives us a model that we can look at of how we come together, how we reach a consensus about things, and how the church can live without conflict and disagreement over something. And it teaches us also that we should follow our bishops, but yet how even our bishops sometimes disagree with each other. And it wasn't Peter and Paul that settled it. It was actually St. James who actually settled the issue in the end. But throughout the years, there's been similar disputes in the Catholic Church. So how did Peter and Paul resolve their differences? It wasn't with logical arguments, reasoned debates, or colleagues' views, those on one side or those on the other. As I said at the beginning of Mass, it was visions, the visions they had. We all know about Saul on the road to Damascus, but we don't often hear much about Peter's vision. Peter's vision of the Lord, when he was hungry and three times the Lord presented, further down in the Acts it tells you, food that he believed was unclean. And the Lord said, anything that he made, that God made, is not unclean. And it was only after that vision that he resolved his attitude. Immediately after having that vision, he'd met with some Gentiles. And this is what he said to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And further on in Acts, it says, can anyone withhold the water of baptizing these people who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit just as we have? That vision is very important. He realized that the saving power of God is for everyone, no matter what color, creed, race, religion. It is there for everyone if they want to take it up. I suggested earlier that vision is the most important thing of the gospel, but in actual fact, it doesn't say much about vision. What I'm saying to you is I believe that the vision that we have as individuals is the most important thing in our lives. How do we show our vision of the church, of our lives, of our prayer life? No matter how far we plan ahead, it's always difficult. Because something always happens to change whatever we plan. You can guarantee if you think that you're going to do something, something will happen to change the course of the events. I don't know if you remember the program called Camera, if you're old enough, which I am. At the end of every show, David Nixon, who was the original presenter, used to say, "Remember when you least expect it, somewhere, someone may walk up to you and say, 'Smile, you're on Candid Camera.'" You remember it? Yeah? It's a bit like that with God. When you least expect it, sometime, somewhere, God may walk up to you and say, with a smile, "I've got a different plan for you." And that happens to every one of us. It's not reasoned arguments that change our views or our course of action. It's not logical debate, adherence to the law, or acceptance of some propositional maxims that makes us Christians and the children of God. These two pillars of the church, totally different people, yet put together, and they have become, through their union with the foundation of Christ as its base, the place where all of us head in our lives. They gave us that vision that no matter how different we are, we can all affect everyone else in our lives and bring them to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen.